Lord, we make you our dwelling place. Because it is with you that our eyes are off of ourselves and they are fixed on you. It is in the warmth of your embrace that we know the fullness of your love and your goodness. It is in this place that we know that in you that there is victory. It is in this place that we know that we are not alone and that we have never been. Lord, we come this morning and we ask you, Lord Jesus, for an increasing revelation of your character and your goodness. Would you fill us to the measure of all the fullness of you, with all wisdom and knowledge, with love and understanding, that we may truly be a city on a hill, shining your light and love to all who come near. We thank you. We thank you for your beautiful bride. We thank you that you see us sparkling and dazzling and white. And we glory in you, O God. We thank you for your word that is holy and true. We thank you for your word that is life to us. And Lord, would you stir up a deep desire and longing among us for your word and root it deeply in us that it transforms us, body, soul, and spirit. We praise you, Lord, for all that you are doing, for all that you will do. We praise you for all who you are, our God and our King, the one who sent his Son, Jesus, to live and die for us, to live and to die and to live again. We praise you. And this morning we lift up to you with great thanksgiving the Liberty Life Center. Father, we thank you for their presence among us. This day, would you pour out your Holy Spirit in mighty and marvelous ways in and among them, Lord God, touching each one, empowering each one so boldly, rooting and establishing them deeply in your love. We thank you. And Jesus, we thank you for teaching us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
That was so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that beautiful message in music. Hey, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? So nice to see all of you. I want to remind us of the beginning of this message series, simply entitled Start, of a verse that we highlighted from Psalm 46, and the verse goes like this: Be still and know that I am God. And I'd invite you to say those words out loud with me. Are you ready? Here we go. Be still and know that I am God. And part of what we suggested last week is when we get in that still, quiet place long enough to focus our attention on God, one of the things that God would remind us of is that your life is a gift from God and that you matter to God. And that it's so important what we do with the way we shape our lives and the words that we say and the actions that we commit, all of those are a part of our gift back to God. And today we're going to be looking at some new verses from Isaiah 55. We'll look at most of the chapter. And today our hope is to learn about the ways of God. But to begin with, I want to ask about the nature and ways of some familiar animals. And so if I were to ask you, which animal do we associate with being sly, what animal would that be? A fox. And what does the fox say? Yeah, and that is so 3 years old. Okay, and so here's the next one. Which animal is known for their memory? The elephant, right, you're doing great. Now, what was it we were talking about again? Oh, I remember, the nature and ways of animals. Okay, here's the last one. And so before we put the picture up on the screen, let me ask you for this kind of response, reading from left to right. Give me slow, fast, or fast, slow. Okay, are you ready? New picture. Absolutely right, whatever you said. Okay, you get 100%, and it shows that you know your animals, their nature, and their ways. And you know, truth is that there are a lot of us that we know some things about God, but none of us would dare to say we know everything there is about God and his ways, but hopefully there's a yearning to know more of his ways. That's what we're going to talk about today. Let's pray together first. Lord, as we enter into this time of study and this time of listening for your voice, would you grace us with your presence and remind us that you are God and we are not. And today, Lord, we want to know more about you and we want to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever noticed how our choices really matter? How many times our choice makes the difference with the path that leads us one direction or another direction? But the impact is not only felt in our own personal life. Oftentimes, the choice that we make to follow in this direction or path leads others along the way, for good or bad. They all have consequences in the lives of others, and ourselves, and the world. And such were the decisions of Napoleon Bonaparte when he went to the Holy Land. It was his intention to take over the entire world, to be its conqueror. And he did that in many, many regions of the known world at that time. But his first major setback came when he went into the Holy Land and was beginning to advance north, only to be turned back by indigenous forces and the British Army combined together. It was his first setback, and he was furious, enraged about it, so much so that he adopted a scorched earth policy. As he withdrew from the region, he burned everything in his path so that there would be nothing left behind for the people he had hoped to conquer, that only he learned later would conquer his forces. What that meant was that the large trees were all gone, burned up. It also meant the migration of their large animals, like lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Well, at least the lions and the bears. I'm not sure that they had tigers in that region at that time. Once there were thriving populations of small animals, too, and now they're close to extinction because of the absence of the large animals. This oasis desert, the Holy Land, now was, well, just a desert. Jaffa was a port city that felt deeply the scar of this scorching effect. You know, these are often our ways. War leads to more war, desolation to more desolation, conflict to more conflict, hurt to more hurt, pain to more pain. Sadly, we know these ways all too well. And sometimes it's in our nature to project the very thing that's in us onto others. Like if we're unhappy, then we project that unhappiness onto others. Hurt people, hurt people. You know how it goes. And as human beings, we've been tempted to do the same with God, to make our broken ways God's ways. You know, when something bad happens, often people will quote from Isaiah 55, whether they know it or not. They will say, well, you know, that bad thing happens, but God's ways are higher than our ways. We can't really understand it. That must be the reason for it. But before we blindly accept that way of thinking, I think it would be fruitful for us to examine the context of the scripture where this is found. So let's dig in and begin in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2. God's speaking here, and he says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare." The invitation is to come thirsty. Years ago, I was on staff at a church in Texas, and I've shared this with many of you before, that it was before the days of computer, and so our secretary would manually type the bulletin, and she made a slip of the finger, and when that verse was read by the entire congregation, it says, "Come, all you who are 30. That left a lot of us out. But if you're 30, come to Kara's class today. And on either side of it for several years. Come and eat what is good and give ear and listen to what I say. See, it's not about the physical food that we eat. There is a different kind of food that nourishes us spiritually. And Jesus reveals that to his disciples when they're concerned that he might be hungry. He says, "I have a food that you know nothing about. It is to do the will of my heavenly Father." You know what will feed and enrich our souls? Not pursuing our will, but running after and chasing after his will. The food for the soul is free. And it's lasting, and it's filling. Skip down to verse 6 where it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." Would you say those words out loud with me? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Now, I want to give us a little illustration along this, because my tendency is to think, God's on the move, and I'm just chasing, trying to run and catch up with him. And while in one sense that might be true, what I think is a deeper sense of this verse is contained in this illustration we're going to have. How many of you have been to a basketball game this year? How many of you have been in the basketball game in 2 or 5 years? How many of you have gone to a basketball sometime in your life? Okay, all right. So your team is playing against the other team. You've got all the noise in the arena or in the basketball field house, and you have chosen a nosebleed seat. That's what I assigned for you in our illustration today. You're way up there. Okay, all of that's going on, and you realize, oh, I left something in my car, and I really need to go get it. Maybe it's your cell phone. Maybe it was that stack of bills that you're going to pay while you're watching the game. I don't know. Okay, so you descend down the stairs. Can you still hear the game going on? Okay. You walk across the side court and you avoid it because the ball just went out of bounds and it didn't hit you. Okay, can you still hear the game going on? Okay, you get to the doors and you're right on the inside of the doors. Can you still hear the game going on? Okay, now you're on the other side of the doors and you can see the concession stand. Can you still hear the game going on? Some of you are still hearing it. Okay, can you get outside of the building? Can you hear the game going on? Maybe. Probably not. You've gotten to your car. Can you hear the game going on? The game is still going on, but we've gotten outside of the boundary of being able to perceive it and hear it. And I think oftentimes there's this stirring of God's voice, and we're the ones who are moving further away from him speaking to us. It's not just simply us putting our fingers in our ears and closing it off. We're moving away. And I can't explain the reason for it, but each of us knows why we do, or we can perceive ways and why we might do it. It could be that we just don't want to hear what he might say that would cause us to want to change our ways, or maybe it would be that if I really believed that I was loved by God, then I'd have to quit feeling sorry for myself, quit throwing up my hands and wringing them and saying, nobody really cares. But I don't think it's God moving away from us so much as it is us moving away from him. And that's why Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Put your attention on him. Call on him while he's near. Don't move away. So here comes our verse that we're talking about today in Isaiah about God's thoughts. But it begins with these verses, and I'm just going to put them side by side so that we can compare them. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let's read these next ones together. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. And then Isaiah 55:8, God is making response to these verses. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. The contrast is that truly his ways aren't our ways. But what is his response to our ways? He will give, let's put it back up there. He will have mercy on them and freely pardon. See, the way of God isn't to rub your nose in the brokenness, to abandon you, to walk away from you, to simply blame you or judge you. It is the way of God to always offer mercy and abundantly pardon. Those are his ways. And how he longs for those to become our ways too. Now Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to what? Death. And you know what? It's repeated again in Proverbs 16:25, exact same words. There's a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. And you see, they didn't have this symbol back in the day when they were punctuating the Old Testament. They didn't have a line with a dot at the bottom of it. That's their way. When you repeat it, it's an exclamation point. Just in case you missed it the first time, here it is the second time. In Matthew chapter 7, it tells us truly that way. In fact, I want to invite us all to read it off the screen together. Here we go. Enter through the narrow gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the road. And in other versions, it says the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. See, we try to manufacture our own ways to get to God, and we just fall short, terribly short. But God has already not only provided a way and made a way, he is the way. Jesus is the way of God and the way to God. We see the ways of God are to have mercy and freely pardon. It's not about revenge, it's about restoration, just like our song said this morning. It's not wrapped up in judgment, but in the joy of grace that God extends out of his abundant heart of love. And Isaiah 55 will pull back the curtain on this even more. When we return to that passage, it says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and we've had a little bit of that this season, haven't we? And do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, or in other versions, void, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God doesn't repay evil for evil. That's us. God says, repay evil with good. That's him. It goes on to say, you will go out in joy and you will be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into songs before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of the briars will grow the myrtle. And this will be to the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. And friends, God is doing this in the Holy Land, in Israel, today. From the scorched earth policy and Napoleon's failed conquest, where he went and burned the trees and the animals exited, there have been 300 million new trees planted in the Holy Land as a testament to God's goodness. Large animals are beginning to return into natural habitats. The desert is being reclaimed as an oasis for the glory of God. And those large date trees that you just saw a grove of, I hope, are a testament to the abundant harvest and the ingenuity and inspiration when we participate with God in renewing the earth. You know, the average date tree is some 14 feet tall. It yields 150 pounds of dates a year. But pickers have to ascend ladders or get in bucket devices to harvest the crop. But through new technology, there are pygmy date trees that stand 4 to 6 feet tall. And their yield, 300 to 400 pounds of dates a year. And you know how they're picked? From standing on the ground and reaching your arms up to the sky. Which brings us to this symbol. You've seen it in the past few weeks, and we're calling it the 707. Now, I think this is correct. If I were a clock right here, this is the 7, and this is the 7. The hour hand and the minute hand. Is that right? I've practiced all week to not have this backwards at this moment. And I can still pick a date right up here. But think about praying at 7:07 in the morning and in the evening. You've got a card on that, or you can get one at the door. Hopefully you'll get a little prayer bracelet that has pray first. Matthew 7:7 is what we're referencing, and it's ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Could this be the year that you and I deepen our relationship with God through a connection of prayer? To ask and to seek and to knock, believing for the things that only God can do in our lives. These are our ways of getting in tune with the heart of God. You'll get a card at the door this morning. Take as many as you want. Put them in all the places that you need. And we would simply invite you to join with hundreds of others across this city to pray a prayer of big faith and trust in the Lord. And we're going to do that right now as kind of our first moment. Saturday night prayed it. We're going to pray it together, and through the weekend there will be hundreds of people simply praying this prayer. It's not about the words. It's about our heart. So enter in. Let us speak with the heart of God, the one who is the maker of heaven and earth, the one who takes evil and makes good, and the one who takes wrong and makes right, and the one who can take us and make beautiful things, holy things. Take the desert of our soul and make it into an oasis of his love. So let us pray expectantly. God of power and love, we come to you with hearts of faith and believing, asking you to do what only you can do in and through First Church. We wholeheartedly seek you and your ways, knowing that what you have for us is more than all we can dream or imagine. We knock on the door of your mercy and grace with confidence and expectation. You are the giver of all good things. Lord, fulfill your kingdom purposes in us. Thank you for your faithfulness and strength, your wisdom and your goodness. Above all else, may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Imagine what would happen if a spark of prayer captured our soul so that you pray for yourself and you pray for your family and you pray over your children and your children's children and generations that are yet to be born. If we were to pray over our church and our city and our county and our world, just imagine. Think of the possibilities that would be endless as God's dreams become reality, and they can come as we as a people of God are drawn to prayer to the Most Holy One. Now, my daughter said, hey, Dad, you know what would be really cool? Is if when you wear that prayer bracelet at the end of the night, when you take it off to go to bed, put it around your cell phone. So when you get up that next morning, the first thing you do is not check your messages, but pray to the one and only who can make your day a beautiful and amazing one. Let's pray. God, your ways are higher than our ways. They always lift us up. They never tear us down. God, when our life feels fractured or broken, or it's confusing or difficult, you stand firm with us, and we stand firm in you. Because our strength comes from the Lord, the one who makes heaven and earth. May we seek you while you are near. May we find you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, in just a moment, we're going to stand and receive a blessing. And I'm so thankful that you could join us for worship this morning. I do want to just keep you updated and let you know that our offer that we made to the water company did not work out. And that is okay. We are looking to God's direction, and we know that great things are in store for this new year. So please don't be discouraged. There's no one to blame. We're just simply thankful for the opportunity, and now we'll look for God's new open doors as we look towards our future with hope, right? Right. Amen. Okay, let's stand together and receive this blessing. And now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest mightily upon each of us now and forevermore. Amen. Go in God's grace. Have a wonderful and beautiful week, everybody.